Good morning.
Today's scripture reading will be out of Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. This is by David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, causing the king to send him away. I will praise the Lord at all times. My mouth will continually praise him. I will boast in the Lord. Let the oppressed hear and rejoice. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. I sought the Lord's help and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant. Do not let your faces be ashamed. This oppressed man cried out and let the Lord heard. He saved him from all his troubles. The angels of the Lord camps around the Lord's loyal followers and delivers them. Taste and see the Lord is good. How blessed is the one who takes shelter in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I hope all of you had a really good week and enjoyed Professor Wesley Wacob, who was here with us last week. He is a joy. He was a preaching professor in his first life, as well as a pastor. I wanted to ask you, did you know that the Bible does not have the words thank you in it? It does not matter whether it's written originally in Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. The words thank you are not found. When reading this fact this last week, I was kind of confounded because I hear of thanks in the Bible all of the time, but thank you does not seem to be there, or at least that's what that author said. I'm going to continue to read and we'll see, right? Have any of you, do you remember seeing thank you? Well, yeah, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that we use words that say thanks. We say glorify, give thanks, or we say that we should give God credit, right? We should give God credit and thanksgiving, right? For things that we're blessed with each week. But I haven't heard the words, thank you. Psalm 34 is one of the oldest psalms, and all of the psalms are part of the Torah or Old Testament and among the oldest writings that we know of. The psalms are songs and poems. They're wisdom chopped down to little, tiny, succinct pieces at times. Tasteful pieces, I think, ready for taking in and savoring, slowly feasting upon for wisdom. Kind of like a good juicy steak, maybe, or your favorite crab meat, right? Take it slowly and feel that buttery taste coming out. They often sound as if they're lessons to children, readying them for life, but they're really promises for you and I and all people at all times if we act in certain ways and if we're always ready to say thank you to God. If you think about the Psalms, it also gives testimony to God's character, what God does or does not do that the psalmists tell us about, letting us know God's character. And the psalmist gives witness to the greatness and glory of God. Then you have your thankfulness. The glory to God is the thank you. Testimony and praise, joyful singing and glorifying God as creator, savior, redeemer, etc., is giving thanks by the person telling of the good works God has brought about, by saying how true God's word is for each one of us. Can you testify to that too? Yes? Amen? I believe, friends, as we go as Christians, we usually come to realize that everything good comes from God. And much of what we suffer is not from God, but can be made into something good by God. Amen? This last week, I was on a pilgrimage with 17 other pastors where we went from Birmingham to Selma, Montgomery to Atlanta. We went to churches, highways, bridges, and even jails where our nation's greatest and bravest civil rights leaders went. We went to monuments and museums, resting places and praying places for them too. And it was all in the hopes that I, among these other pastors, would become better prophetic preachers for our congregations, so that we all can hear God's words better and more clearly during times of crisis. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that thinks we're not in times of crisis in some way. Our first Sunday, we were at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham. Do you remember anything big about that church? There was a bomb placed underneath the stairwell in the side of that church. You can see kind of the third or fourth window in, and there's a speeding sign, I think, right near it now because it's right on the road. But that's near where the entrance was. And four little girls, African-American girls, were killed in 1963. Now, I hadn't been to an African-American ceremony or service for a while, and I hadn't been to a Baptist one in a long while because, well, I'm Methodist, right? And I'm here usually, right? That doesn't give me many times for services anywhere. But this was a wonderful service. And the pastor there talked about being in the midnight hour, that deep and dark place where we all can go, meaning to or not, when life seems like the sun has disappeared and darkness is there. The midnight hour, as he said, was not only a time, but a metaphor, if you think about it, for the truly dark and hopeless place that feeds our fears and lets the enemy in. I don't know about you, but do you wake up in the middle of the night when you're really stressed, when you've got a fear on your heart, when you're worried about things? That's my midnight hour usually. But really, it could come in the morning, in the noon, in the night, whenever. Midnight is that place and time of darkness when we have troubles, when we suffer, when we have times of war, all types of war, truthfully, a time we know that we must be in prayer during that time. Prayer, as one writer pointed out last week, is a form of saying thank you to God, though, when it's done correctly. And on last Sunday, the Reverend Dr. Arthur Price Jr. told us and his congregation that prayer should be done persistently. That makes sense, doesn't it? Persistently, consistently, always. Done with a prayer partner if you can, because as he pointed out, that partner can truly cry out to God with you and know how to leave it with God for you. I liked that second part, you know, because sometimes we pray, and especially if we're alone, we pray and say, I'm giving it to you, Lord. And then what do? Take it back. That's right. So pray with a prayer partner persistently. Prayer should be done at times in public, he said. When you're in public, sometimes it's appropriate to pray and out loud. Why? So that people may hear you and have the Holy Spirit bring them into and something start there. So sometimes we need to leave our closets and where God says be in silence and alone and be praying together. But his last point was that prayer should also be done with praises on our lips. And I thought, wasn't that great? I was already talking about praises with Psalm 34. Praises for the Almighty God. Praises for Lord Jesus Christ. Praises for the Holy Spirit that guides and forms us, that writes us when we're in that midnight hour, when we need to listen and obey. Just like a praise you might have for your son or daughter, a parent, a spouse, a friend, those praises should come easily from our lips, saying, thank you, God. That's our common way of doing it, right? I don't say to my son, well, I give thanksgiving for you setting the table very often. Or to my husband, thank you. Well, no, I say thank you. I don't say, I praise you for doing the laundry. Now, he may want me to say that, but... Dr. Price infused a bit of humor, too, and he warned us that we should not go into praying like we're on our laptop trying to make a list for Christmas on Amazon, right? And then push the enter button, expecting something to happen. As he said, for if you pray only when you need something and you're headed for trouble or into trouble already, you are already in trouble. Yes? You need to have a relationship that's individual, intimate, and consistently created by praying every day. That's the persistent part, in order for the mountains to be moved. Jesus told us in the New Testament that mountains can be moved by God if we pray and ask the Holy One. But if you don't have a relationship with God, can we expect much more? If we don't have a relationship with God, won't those doubts come in? Because it takes a lot of praying and a lot of relationship with God to not have doubts that God can take care of everything. Amen? pray and make sure you're praising and glorifying God, but especially that you're ready to give God thanks, even if those prayers and petitions are not fulfilled the way you want. Even if this time the Amazon truck, you might say, went by your stop and did not stop. Thank you, God, for waking me up. Thank you, God, for my job, even though I have a grumpy boss and I don't really love what I do, right? Thank you, God, for my health. Even though I could eat better, I could be exercising, I could be doing better for myself, and dang it, that doctor could be doing better too, huh? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God is good. Amen? Amen? Friends, when we ask God to bless us, we often are wanting God to bless us with qualities we don't have and have not worked hard to make ours, right? I can pray every day that God takes these pounds off my body, but if I don't do the hard work, guess what? Or we pray for material items for ourselves that we want and do not have. It can be as simple as praying for the blessings that we own a car or house in the future, have money or status. It can be as humble as asking God for health or children, love of a family member, respect from others. But how do we boast in the Lord and ourselves bless God at the same time? Well, this psalmist in Psalm 34 seems to be telling us. This psalmist seems to have figured it out. God wants us to join in and sing praises aloud about and to God. That is how we thank God. How to give others hope, how to then have them singing the psalmist's praises along with us. And it dominoes from there. Can you vision that? Verse 2 and 3. I will boast in the Lord. Let the oppressed hear and rejoice, saying, come and see what God has done for me. And thus can do for you too. Praise God. Verse 3, magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. Did you hear that? Together. Not alone. Not just in the closet. Oh, thank you, God. Right? Together. That does so much more for that domino effect. And it pleases God so much. In some translations, the oppressed are called the poor, the afflicted, or the lowly. But it's clear that all of these words express the same people who are in need in that moment of life of hope and need to hear God speak and who need to see God's work in action to save them and deliver them from their circumstances. I'm pausing here because it seems like I'm talking about everybody else, right? It seems like this was long ago, but do you recognize you're there too? Maybe not in this day, but before this. Maybe not in this day, but you will be. All of us go through these times where we need to magnify the Lord, where we need to then boast in the Lord when the Lord comes through for us, in whatever way the Lord comes through for us. Today, we might just say in our prayers aloud to God, may the humble hear my song and join in singing with me. That might even just be something that Brant stands up here. He's disappeared. He's in the chair here. And says, when we come to sing, may the humble stand up with me and sing. May we praise the Lord. The psalmist explains why we should all join in the singing too. Hear how verse 4 tells the reasoning of it. I sought the Lord's help and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. That's a pretty simple answer, isn't it? I asked for help and he delivered me from my fears. This psalmist wants us to know that God answers prayers and delivers. And so he points out to you and I, the humble, the scared, the oppressed, the frightful, those sitting in the darkness and realizing it's midnight in our lives, that we can also have God save us. Amen? Amen. And we too should join in the singing to God, about God. Thanking God. If you think about it, worship and praise are historically the ways that we give thanks to God. I'm not sure you even need to see those common words of thank you, like I might say to my husband for the laundry. Psalm 100 repeats this very well too, if you go home and want to read it today. But since Jesus came and walked on this earth, the writers of the gospel, the letters to the other Christians from the first apostles like Paul, have also suggested in the New Testament other ways to thank God. Romans 12:1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Living in obedience and faithfulness is a way to show gratitude for God's mercy. And Jesus himself is said to have indicated in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, you might not think that that's part of the Thanksgiving thing. It really is, though. By these words, we know that obedience and faithful living are the essence of praising and thanking God, because we're showing that we understand that God's given us love and that we should love others. We should obey the commandments. Hebrews 13:15 and 16 tells, through him, being Jesus, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledges his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Paul says our generosity results in thanksgiving to God through sharing and doing good work in the world. But friends, let's not just think that giving our old clothes to Goodwill, or our used furniture to Salvation Army, or even us that planned to go out and paint a house in Carefest yesterday, is the total sum of that. We all should be thinking about thanking God every day. There's nothing like words and actions combined to show true appreciation and love for the Lord. There's nothing so powerful between you and the Lord as your prayers and your time that you spend with the Lord in prayer and then listening and conversing, thanking. So the challenge for us today is to go out of here and remember to thank God. Not just when I get my food and I'm eating at the table. Not just when the paycheck comes in. Not just when, oh, I prayed to you, God, and you helped me. I got done with my project on time. I got my cold disappeared. I'm still doing well. But that we persistently pray to God, persistently listen, and converse with God. The more we do it, the more, like anything, we come to an arrival. Let us remember to go out and be persistent. At times, pray in public. At times, pray with partners. And to always, always, always praise with our voices and our hearts to our God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, each verse in the Bible can tell us something. And we thank you, God, for Psalm 34. For it doesn't matter really what the psalmist was given. The psalmist tells us that he or she had their fears taken away and that you came through. And that we, too, can be with you and have our fears taken away, too. In these days of crisis, whatever they be for us, our families, our church, our community, the world, we thank you that you are with us and that we can be with you. We praise you, and we all say, Amen.